Good evening and greetings in Christ's name again. As Uncle Joe mentioned, there's a spiritual bond that is more important and more deep than the physical one. And, you know, I've looked up to him as a mentor and an example for years, because he's the only uncle I have who is, I would still consider, faithful to the Lord. All the rest of my uncles have, in one way or the other, turned away from the truth on both sides of my family. And so that is the more significant relationship, the spiritual relationship that we can have, and we can have that with so many other brothers and sisters, as was mentioned. The things that I want to share this evening, I want to try to particularly connect them or relate them to the youth, younger people, and I want to talk generally about how we understand and know the will of God for our lives. How do we find our way as to what we ought to do, where we ought to go, how we ought to spend our time, what we ought to invest our lives in. You know, there's so many options out there. Then we think about marriage and how significant that is in the life of an individual, if God calls a person to that. And how do we decide? How do we make decisions about that, things like that? And I thought I would start with giving you a little bit of my story, and use that to help illustrate what I want to share. Not because what I've experienced is so unique or special or anything like that. It's you know, any of the older brethren, my age and older here, can share similar stories, I'm sure, with the same kind of profit. But since I'm the one speaking, I guess I have to use my own experience. Fairly early on, I settled that I was going to serve the Lord. My closest friends in school, and well, as we got into the youth, were starting to make choices that were not good. They developed values that took them, in the end, some pretty difficult places. And I really don't know why. I suppose it was just the example and encouragement or influence of people that I knew and respected as a 14, 15, 16-year-old, that, you know, things that, you know, would have been Uncle Joe and my uncle by marriage, Uncle Enos, and just other people, and hearing their testimonies of faith and their commitment to the Lord, something about that drew me in a different direction than my closest friends. And so by the time I was about 18, I was kind of in almost by myself. Not quite. There were others around, but I had kind of left my connections with my closest friends and hadn't really connected closely with other guys in the youth group yet at that point. But I remember several times when I realized that some of the influences that I was exposed to were taking me and causing me to be involved in certain things, and I just had to make a decision. You know what? I've got to lay this stuff aside, and I've got to turn and go the other direction. And then I would, you know, maybe kind of get back into some of that again. And that happened several times. I was went to CBS for several terms over several different years, and Monica reminded me this evening that one of those times I came up here for a visit one Saturday, I suppose. I was working for my dad, and anyway, after but the first year that I went to Bible school, I went during a term when there were a lot of young people there whose commitment to Christ was a little bit shaky, and I felt like I had kind of stayed clear of that, and the Lord had done some amazing work in a lot of people's lives during that term of Bible school. I went back the second year for longer, different set of terms, much better set of young people. And I remember coming back home, and Dad and I were working together, and I was kind of telling him a few things that happened in Bible school. And he just, after a while, he kind of just quietly, he'd never said a whole lot to me. He didn't instruct me verbally just a tremendous amount. So when he said something, you knew that it was something that he really wanted to make sure that I got. And he just looked at me and he said, "You know, if you'd come back from Bible school this time, the way you came back last time, I decided you were never going back." And, you know, that was just, that just caught me. It's like, oh, I am being influenced by people around me, even though whether I think about it or not, and just increased my commitment to spend time with people who were going the direction that I wanted to go. And so anyway, I was kind of not quite sure what to do. And one Sunday morning, our church had a stairway going down the back, and there was a couple little trays there where they often put literature for people to pick up and so on. And I walked back there and was getting ready to go down the stairs, and here was this little brochure. Something about a youth weekend at Sharon Mennonite Bible Institute. I hadn't a clue what Sharon Mennonite Bible Institute was. I didn't know anything about them. But I looked over the program for the week. It's like, wow, this looks interesting. And so I took it home and showed it to my dad and said, "You know, could I have off a week? I'd kind of like to go to this." And he said, "Well, yeah, I think I can give you off a week." So I called up that afternoon and asked him, I said, "Do you have any openings? Could I come?" Started Monday morning. And they said, "Sure, we have an opening. Come on up." So I packed up my stuff that afternoon and headed up there that evening yet, having never seen the place, didn't know anybody there, and had a very enjoyable time and ended up going back then for a term. Because that was a good experience, but it kind of, at a time when I was floundering a bit, that influence in that direction just was a significant thing for me. So I was there for that term and liked it good enough. Dad had told me I could have off for 6 weeks then, and my dad wasn't one to give me very much money, which I think is a good thing. You can add that to the parenting comments the other evening. Your children don't need very much money. Yeah, they're better off without a lot. And so I really thought I wanted to stay another term, but I didn't have any money for it. And my dad wasn't very wealthy either. I knew he didn't have any money to give me for it. But anyway, I called him up and I said, "Dad, if I could figure out a way to pay for this, would you let me stay another 6 weeks?" He said, "Sure. Yeah, I'll do that." So I wasn't sure what to do, and finally I called up one of these friends that I had to distance myself from, but he was a little bit older and had a little more money than I did, and I said, "Hey, would you loan me?" Interesting enough, I don't know what you'd have to pay to go there now, but it was $600 for a term, room and board, and the cost of the classes, and he said, "Sure." So he loaned me $600. So here I am, $600 in the hole, to be at Bible school. But I made some friends there and met some of the instructors there who had a tremendous influence on my life. And so that was a milestone for me, well worth. I don't recommend going in debt for things like that, but in my case, that was well worth that experience. The next summer, I was asked to teach school in Catlett, Virginia, which where we were living in Madison County, Virginia, so it was about an hour north of us. And I really don't remember how I decided to do that. I just remember praying about it, talking with my parents about it. And we were going to Canada to help at one of our church missions up there for a week or a couple weeks and on a building project. And somewhere along during that trip, I remember I called back and said, hey, I'll do this. And so I flew back from Canada so I could take some teacher training and started teaching school. 20 years old, hadn't a clue what I was doing. But things didn't, I'd heard somewhere along the line, you should teach at least 2 years. If you're going to teach at least 2 years before you decide whether or not you're going to teach longer or give it up. And that was a good thing. I just kind of decided in my mind that that's what I was going to do. The first year didn't go real well, mostly because of me and my inexperience. And but before the end of that school term, I got a call asking if I would consider teaching school in Belize. And I'd been down there to visit a time or two, had some relatives there, and really wanted to do that. But I had already decided that I was going to teach at Catlett for 2 years, and I just felt like I ought to honor that, even if it was just in my own a commitment in my own mind. And so I turned that down, taught another year, decided to not teach again. I attended Faith Builders when they first started up, a summer in between that and then the next summer. And sure enough, after another year, they asked if I would go back to consider going to Belize, to a different place, different school, and a situation that I actually knew that I would enjoy much more than the one that had been offered to me first. So I stayed down there for 5 years and enjoyed it so much I figured I was going to spend the rest of my life down there. I just pretty much decided that I would be a Belizean best I could. Well, I was single, enjoying being single. I didn't mind it. Wasn't unhappy with the thought of being single, but in that time, I'd been down there for probably between 2 and 3 years, and I got a letter from my mom, and in it she said she thought it was about time that I got a wife and wanted me to know that I was that she was praying for me to find a wife. And well, okay, that's interesting. And kind of threw me for a bit of a loop because my family, we didn't tease each other about getting married or, you know, that kind of thing. That was just like, you know, if that's the Lord's will, fine. If not, that's fine too. And then that was the end of that when it came to talking about potential marriage partners and so on. So I gave it to the Lord and basically forgot about it. And I just turned 26. And I moved to another village because there was a farm there that was owned by some Chinese people and they needed somebody to take care of it. It's like, well, this was a good chance for me to kind of settle down and move a little bit away from the mission. It was right next door to one of the mission properties, but and kind of start settling in to life in Belize as a permanent resident. I had my permanent residency already. Anyway, just a couple months after that, a young lady showed up at the same unit that was right there in that area, and she was really nice, but I was too busy doing other things to pay too much attention for a while. Attractions of that nature kind of have a way of growing on you, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, I'm really attracted to this young lady. I realized that that was a problem because the mission policy at that time was no dating on the mission field. And once in a while, there might be exceptions if people lived far enough away, but absolutely no exceptions if they were in the same place. And we were in the same place. But I felt like, to be fair, I just had to talk to our unit leader about that. And he looked at me and he said something kind of unexpected. I didn't expect this at all. He said, I think we can work something out. Okay. Well, that's his problem, not mine. So I left it at that. A couple weeks later, he came back to me and he said, I called the AMA board about you. And they said, it's fine. You can go ahead and date. It's like, okay, well, now wait a minute here. I need to decide whether I want to do this too. Okay, don't rush me too fast here. So, anyway, and by that time, I really wanted to, but I did pray about it and finally got up enough courage. You know, I'm kind of a bold person and aggressive, but that'll really put the fear into you to go talk to a young lady. So be gracious to the guys because it can be a little bit traumatic sometimes. Anyway, but I knew that I wanted to get permission from her dad. Never met him in my life. Didn't know him. I barely knew his name. But I, went out to the village phone and called him and told him what I wanted. He said, okay, well, give me a little bit of time. And unknown to me, he knew some people that knew me, and so he starts calling around and getting some references, referrals, and information. Anyway, I remember going into town, getting to a phone, and calling him again. He told me, I think, call him in 2 weeks. And he told me he gave me his permission, his blessing. And so just about a year after I'd gotten that letter from my mom, we started dating. We did most of our dating in church. The only place that we could have a little, it wasn't really privacy, but it was as much as we could get, I guess, that was appropriate. So we had our dates in the church house, which was an open-sided thatch church right out by the main road. And so Sunday afternoons, we'd be together there talking, and of course, all the village people are up and down the road and making comments to us as they pass by and things like that. That was interesting. But anyway, to make a long story on that short, we got married. Well, I should add this, since we're talking about the will of God. So we talked about this, and I told her that I wanted to stay in Belize and be involved in the work of the Lord there, and if that isn't a part of her, if she feels like she couldn't do that, then that was going to be the end of that. Our relationship would be over because I was pretty committed to that. But she was willing to do that. And the mission board actually came and asked us, would we consider, after we're married, come back and take a position as a married couple? And we agreed to that. But what happened was they thought that there were at least two or three couples that would be leaving that year, and all of them decided to stay. So we're planning to get married in the summer. What are we going to do? I didn't have any money. I didn't have any money when I left to go to Belize. $40 a month doesn't add up very much, even if you work for 5 years. It had gone up a little bit from that, but that's what it started at, or 45, I think. So as far as assets, we didn't have much cash. My wife had a cow that her dad had given her as a calf and was still on her home farm there. And I had a motorcycle in Belize, and that was what we had. So I came home in June, and we got married in August. And in that time, the Lord provided a house for us rent-free for 2 years. We got a free car. And I had a job. And so that's how we started. Well, the 2 years coming to an end, what are we going to do? I had 7 different requests for us to come to different places of service. Of those, the one that I was attracted to, drawn to the least, was Mountain View there in Arota, asking if I would come and start a discipleship program with the VS staff there. We were asked to go to Africa and teach school at a few places and some other things like that. And I just felt like with all those options and some especially that I really wanted, I wasn't sure that I could personally hear the Lord past my own desires. So I decided that I was going to ask the church if they would be willing to decide for me. So I took it to the ministry and said, yeah, they'd be willing to take it to the church. And I made it clear that I wanted them to make, not give a recommendation, but to actually make a decision, that I would abide by whatever they decided. And so, guess what? They decided they wanted me to stay and start this program at Mountain View. Okay, well, I can do that for a while, and then I can go do some of these other things later. So that'll be all right. I'll accept that. 2 years or a year and a half into that, I was ordained to the ministry. And 2 years after that, I was ordained bishop. And suddenly I started to feel being sort of, it felt to me kind of like I was being locked down into being in Madison County, where I had, particularly as a teenager, was sure I would never stay. But because I had decided back many years ago that I was going to accept the Lord's will, whatever that was, it's like the Lord closed all the other doors and opens one in front of you, then that's, we accepted that. And so again, after being at Mountain View, in voluntary service there for another 7 years. We felt like it was time to leave there. And so again, the Lord just opened doors. Again, in various ways, provided that we had enough money to build a basement and frame a house on top of it and then live in the basement for a while. And started a construction business, and he miraculously provided the money for me to buy a truck and some tools. I'd sat down one day, and I knew this was going to be bad, but I sat down and figured out how much money I thought I would need to start into construction. And I figured that it would cost me about $11,600 to get the equipment and everything that I needed. And within a week of that, maybe 2 weeks, I'm not sure, just out of the blue from somebody I don't know, there was an organization name on the check, the Good Deeds Fund or something like that, $12,000 from, I don't know where it came from, I have no idea. And that's, okay, so that's the beginning of a bunch of stories that I could tell about how the Lord provided. Then 11 years ago, God led us to move to McKinney. And again, so many stories of how the Lord led and provided and worked in that. But I look back on my life obviously there are things that I regret, choices that I made here and there and decisions, things that happened and so on, but I have no major regrets about the direction of my life. And I'm thankful for that. And I'll just say this now. Once you settle the question of who you will walk with through life, whether it's God or the world, if you settle that question seriously, definitively, once for all, then you embark on a course that can go anywhere and who knows where it will end up. you can't imagine. You might as well not try to figure it out. But you can know that it will be good. And everywhere you go, you will see more and more of the love, the purpose, the will of God, the mercy of God. And you'll be able to look back on your life with gratitude and praise to God. God has what I'm going to call a general will for all people. So we open our Bibles and we read a lot about the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, just one. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And he goes on, is more specific in that verse about abstaining from fornication. But the general will of God is that you be sanctified and set apart for His use. That's why I said settle the question of who you are going to serve. We have so many passages that talk about that it is the will of God for all men to be saved. And we know from passages like these, we have instructions to Timothy that are general like that. You know, what we are to give ourselves to. And so we know what the general will is for all people. And I know that some of you are involved in construction around here. So if you can think about it like this. Whoops. Let's try this black one again. The general will of God provides a framework on which you can hang your life. And so there are some of these where God says, you know, I want you to serve me. I want you to care for the poor. I want you to obey this. I want, you know, all kinds of commands that are given. What is, some people have counted them up, said there's 600 commands in the New Testament or something like that. Those are the will of God for all His people. But how does that help you? It provides just simply a framework for then what I'm going to call God's specific will, which is, as it relates to me, some of the things that I told you about in talking about my life. And so essentially it's like, okay, God isn't telling you what color metal to put on the roof or what color the siding is or how the floor is, whether it's gravel or concrete or, you know, He just gives you the framework on which you hang your life. So many times we get kind of caught up in the understanding or the feeling that God's will is a dot, a point. And that if somehow I don't figure out what that point is, that specific thing is, then I'm going to be outside the will of God. But I don't believe that's the case. Because God has given us, and this is a part of us being human, He has given us the freedom of choice. And He expects us to use that. Now, Adam and Eve in the garden and many other people since have used that choice to choose sin. And God lets people choose sin. But He intends for us to use that freedom of choice to make choices that are within His framework, somehow or the other. Well, let's see, I didn't mean to do that. But within this framework, He gives us the freedom to choose. And so, for example, if instead of going to Belize, I had decided to teach more years of school in Catlett, what do you think God would have thought about that? Do you think he would have minded? And if I had done that, think about that, how that might have affected my life and where I might be today. Probably the lady who is my wife now would not have been my wife. Would I have somehow been wrong and outside the will of God to have done something different than what I did? I don't think so. I don't think that God, he would have seen that I'm somehow walking away from his will if I had, in a sincere attempt to serve him, said, you know, I think God wants me to stay here. Although now, as I look back on it and say, okay, well, I see the way that God was leading me, and I'm glad I followed the way he was leading me. But there's a passage that says, where somebody gives testimony saying, I being in the way, the Lord led me. And it's kind of like, as you move and ways open up before you, when there are two right ways that open up before you, I believe you have the freedom to take either one. And your life might be drastically different and can still be within the will of God. Sometimes people talk about the permissive will of God, and what's the other one? Somehow I lost it in my mind. But anyway, I don't believe that God has, within this framework, as long as we continue to live according to the framework, the general framework that God has set up for his people, I believe that God, we can say that whatever we do within that is the will of God. We don't have to say, think that, well, this might be less or that might be more. It'll just be different. Another thing about it is sometimes we get the idea, just like I've struggled with that in relation to this decision that the church made that I need to stay at Arota, and then I got, you know, ordained and all this kind of stuff, that God's will be the thing we least like to do. Okay? Guess what? I really enjoyed, by the way, my time involved with the young people at Mountain View. It was one of the best times of my life. So I thought I wasn't going to enjoy it, but I did. But I remember a young lady in our church coming to me, and she had been asked to go serve at our mission clinic in Paraguay. And so we talked about it a little bit. She was struggling with, is this the will of God, or should she go, should she not go? And she was kind of feeling like probably she shouldn't. I said, well, tell me, what do you really want to do? And she just kind of burst out, oh, I've always dreamed of going to Paraguay. So we'll go. By all means, go. She kind of looked at me and was like, well, I just felt like because I wanted to so badly that probably that wasn't God's will. Well, who do you think gave you that desire? God did. And so as I look on my own life, I ask myself the question, why did God give me the desire to serve him in Belize? Because it gave me a heart for the Belizean people, for one thing, but it gave me a heart for people like them. And so I realized that as the leader of a church, I was in a unique position where I had some influence. And that if I had gone, and, you know, so it had just been me and my wife and our family if I had gone, maybe what God wanted was for me to take that burden and that desire and say, you know what, okay, then I can help other people go. And so I took a very active role in looking for opportunities for people in our congregation to go serve. And I many times either talked to people, I said, you know what, I saw this in a newsletter, I think you might enjoy that. Take a look at that. Or I even would talk to, you know, mission board members at the minister's meeting or something, say, hey, you know, if you need somebody to teach school, we have a young lady here, we have a young man here that I think would do well. And and they would usually take some action on that. And so as I look back on that, and then I ended up being able to encourage and send a family from our church to take the very position that I would have liked to have in Belize. And they ended up being there for probably over 20 years. God has a unique plan for each of us that fits us. And when I say that, again, I don't mean that we have to find that only that one thing, because God knows us, and as we are seeking to do His will, again, I said, you know, if we have these different choices that we can make, and He knows the end from the, He knows which one we're going to do, but He also knows that, He can think lots more thoughts than we can think and understand many more things than we can understand. And so He can have already, way before the foundation of the world, said, well, if Tim chooses this, this is where we're going to see to it that he goes, you know, here. If he chooses this, he'll end up over here, but it'll all be okay. It'll be within my will. And I'll use him here or I'll use him here, depending on what choice he makes here. So how do we think about, how do we come then to come to a decision? Because at some point, the responsibility is going to rest with us. So in my case, with that time when I asked the church, even that decision at some point rested with me. I had to ask the church to make that decision for me. I could have made a decision then. But I still had to take some responsibility, as I did in that case, to say, okay, I want the church to make that decision. If we think about all the resources at our disposal, and now I'm thinking about when we're surrendered to the will of God, we're obeying God to the best that we know how, we're growing in the Lord, we have a relationship with Him, our lives are surrendered to Him. We want to do the will of God. We have the Bible. We have parents. We have church leaders. We have the church as a whole and people that we, you know, maybe we go to for counsel and so on. Friends. Sometimes, but especially as a youth, I would say, that might be a little bit have lesser weight. We have our own interests that God has given us. We have different. We have our own gifts. I tend to. You heard me say that I taught school a number of years. I taught school 7 years and Bible school, and I preach a lot. And so I do fine with teaching. But there are other people for whom teaching is just not their thing at all. I have a son who from little up, you know, he could take something apart, fix it, put it back together. I mean, he was almost born with a wrench in his hand. And so when he was finishing school, I knew that his interest was there. His skill was just kind of shade tree type of skill. He could fix stuff on the farm and so on. But we have just a few miles from us, so one of the top diesel mechanic schools in the state. And so, I'll help you go there if you want to go to school there. And so he said, sure. He struggled in school. He would not have wanted to he wouldn't have even crossed his mind to think about being a school teacher, something like that. And but I just felt like, you know, with his abilities, it would be good if he got a little bit more training. So he did that. And I just believe that there's some place that God is going to have where he can serve in foreign missions. I was hoping for that. Guess what? Sure enough, I find out that, somebody else talked to CAM and they contacted me and said, would I think that my son would do well as a mechanic in Liberia? Sure. Of course he would. So there is something where somebody's gifts and talents were just what the Lord needed somewhere. God uses everybody that he created, right? He created you as a unique individual, and he has something that he can use you that really you, he can find somebody else if you won't do it. But you fit that the best. And as we listen to what God says in his word, and we line our lives up with that, we hear what our parents say, church leaders and so on. So I'd say, you know, if there's a place that you have a desire to go, but your church would not support you in going, forget it. No. Your church should be more important to you than that. And the Lord will bless you for that. And he'll have something for you that your church can support. So back to now thinking about, I'm going to run out of time, so I got to skip away from some things and go to others. I want to talk about this thing of marriage. The most important thing in your decision to get married, if that's how the Lord leads and directs you, is whether you are, I'm going to coin another word, I guess, if it's not one already, marriageable. Okay? You work on developing your character and your relationship with God so that when God's time is there for that, you'll be ready for it. You don't have to push it. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to go out and try to make it happen. You just become what you should be. I've officiated at lots and lots of weddings, and for most people, that is the will of God. And you know what? For most people, God just has a way of making that happen. And by the way, that's one of the places where he uses our natural desires to draw people together. Because as young men, young women, we have desires along those lines. The important thing is that we become the kind of people we should be, and then God can channel those into a marriage that is a blessing and an encouragement and a contribution to the church, to God's kingdom. Young ladies, I'll tell you like I told my daughters, and your dads probably have told you this too, at least some of you. If a guy comes to talk to you about a special relationship and he hasn't talked to your dad first, send him down the road, okay? He's got to grow up a little bit. He needs to know where he goes first, okay, if your dad is available. But if not, you know, maybe there's some other, you can be a little bit kinder and say, you know what, would you go talk to, you know, somebody who's maybe become kind of a father figure or something in your life? Because another man, by the way, can discern a young man's motives quicker than you can. And if there's something not right about there, or he needs to grow up a little bit or mature in some areas of his life, it needs to, you need another man to evaluate that, a mature man for you. That's a protection for you. But when God brings two people together and there's blessing from parents, the church, and so on, then you can just enter that with a whole heart and with joy and just seek the Lord. Continue to seek the Lord. That's, by the way, what courtship and dating is about, is just getting to know each other to the extent that you can say, you know what, we think we can, as children of God, spend our lives together and be fruitful in God's kingdom. But again, we can get... how can I say? Some people think in two broad categories. Some people do just more naturally just sort of take life as it comes. And if things just kind of work out, then they work out and that's fine. And other people tend to really wrestle with things and question and doubt themselves a lot and agonize over things. And sometimes if we're that kind of a person, we need to just simply step back and relax and say, what is the, you know, is there any obstacle here? That can be an important question for somebody that struggles in that way, rather than saying, well, do all the things line up? How can I be sure? Well, sometimes we have to be okay with a little uncertainty. And instead say, well, are there any obstacles that God is putting in my way that I'm trying to kind of run over? If I'm not trying to run over any obstacles and the way seems open, why not just keep going? One time during our courtship, I, looking back on it, there were some other things going on, and I'm not sure what all to this day. But I struggled with that question of whether it was the Lord's will. And I, at one point, wrote Vivian a letter saying that I was going to break up with her. I just wasn't at peace that it was the Lord's will. I had it in an envelope. I had the stamp on it. I was up in the States for furlough. And I never put it in the mail. And every time I would kind of come to that point of saying, Lord, you know, you have just got to show me your will. I've got to know that this is okay. And I would come to peace. And so, well, we're married, so you can guess what happened. But those things are real, but we have to be willing to back off and say, well, where are the obstacles that God is putting in my way? Or am I just putting them in my own way, in my own mind? And it's not from God. And here again, counsel from other folks can help with that. Be free to talk to people about those kind of struggles. But it's helpful, I think, to recognize that God, as long as our relationship would be with somebody who loves the Lord and is committed to Christ, then God's okay with us making a decision within this framework. And we get to put the, you know, the skin on the frame. And we get to fill in the details. And as we are surrendered to God, God just guides, directs, provides, and we look back and we see what it looks like afterwards. When we're in the moment making a decision here and a decision there and another decision in another place, we don't see the whole picture. So you kind of have to wait until you're my age or even older to start to see how that picture came together. But be okay with not seeing the whole thing in the future. You see it looking back. And we look back and we say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I think, too, that we do get better and better, learn better and better how to follow. We learn the disciplines of the Christian life. We learn how to hear the voice of God. But what you want is when you look back at your life from your rocking chair, You have lots of good memories. You have lots of good memories of seeing God at work, of having participated in what God was doing, and can have that sense of peace. You know, God is gracious. I've at times sat down with an older person and they say, you know, I made so many mistakes. And you ask them, well, what were they? And then they have a hard time remembering the specifics. I think that's a mercy of God, that our memories retain far. I'm not saying there can be some that are so painful that they sort of never leave us. But I'm talking about just the, you know, where I made a wrong decision here, a wrong decision there. What God brings to our minds tend to be the highlights, the ways that God provided, the things that we're grateful for. And God wants us to remember those kinds of things, not all the failures and mistakes that we made. One thing that we know is the general will of God. I mentioned it just in passing, and that is God's call to meet the needs of the poor. And I'm going to define poor in a pretty broad sense. I recently heard a phrase that I really like, and a guy was repeating it in the course of a discussion several times about how Christians are to know what to be involved in terms of service. And he said, Christians ought to run to the sound of the pain. There's a hurting world out there, and there's hurting people in the church too, okay? We can't ignore and neglect that. But there's a whole world out there that is full of people who are hurting, some because they've never heard the gospel, some because they've never heard the true gospel, and so are in some kind of spiritual darkness. Some because, you know, maybe they're hungry because of famine or there's war or whatever. And then there's people in our communities, you know, children living in terrible home situations. You know, in our area, as probably as in yours, is in a lot of rural areas, there's a lot of drugs. Some people, you know, where both parents are drug addicts and the children are sort of left to raise themselves, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old children even, or maybe a 9 or 10-year-old taking care of 2 or 3 siblings. And there's just so many hurting people. And God gives us different ears. Some people hear one cry of pain, and other people hear a different cry. And we tend to think that, well, everybody ought to hear the same cry that I'm hearing. No, because God wants all the needs to be addressed, all the people to be touched, if possible, that we can reach. And so he gives us the ability to hear those different cries. Some people hear the cry coming from across the ocean somewhere. Other people hear the cry that comes from just down the street, or the cry that comes out of the prison, or we can go on about that. But we are called to reach, all of us, every single one of us. And young people, I encourage you to just know that the will of God for you at a time when you might not be that skillful, but you have a lot of energy. Use at least some of that energy, and preferably a lot, to do that where you can. Start right here in your community, and I'm sure you're doing some of that already. I just encourage you to keep on doing that and pay attention to that. Recognize that that is a call of God on the life of every believer. And you have the opportunity as a young person to develop the skills and habits. I remember being back when I was growing up, the restrictions were a lot less on going into prison. And so I think I went into a prison for the first time when I was 16. I went in with some older brethren from church. Now, at 16, you think I could stand in front of everybody and preach or whatever? And they said, no, it said, just go in. We went into the dorms, and they said, just find a guy that'll talk to you, sit down, read a scripture with him, you know, just get to know him a little bit, talk to him, and invite him to the church service tonight. And, well, I did. And, well, that got me started. But I had some older brethren who were taking me along and helping me a little bit. And, you know, so take advantage of those kinds of opportunities, whether it's, you know, taking food to a neighbor or doing something with children in the community, cut some firewood, clean a house, build a wheelchair ramp, fix a door for an elderly person. tutor a child who's struggling. Most counties, at least in the East, if you go into the social services office and say, do you have any children that need a tutor? They'll have a whole list for you of children that are struggling in school and need somebody to sit down with them after school to help them learn to read. Or, you know, most of them are struggling because they're having to overcome so much baggage at home that they can't study well at school. Babysit for a single mom. Learn to serve people who can't serve you back. And then as God gives you opportunity, and I'm sad that there are fewer opportunities for this now than when I was a young person, but take advantage of an opportunity to serve long term. The short-term missions, you know, 3 months in Greece and stuff like that, that's fine. But that will not do for you what a year or more will do. And I tell the young people in our church regularly, I just said, you know, I believe that every young person should serve at least a year or more somewhere else outside the community in service. So we have had some school teachers, you know, good school teachers, but I want them to go somewhere else too to serve. Because there's something that develops in a person in that kind of an environment away from the security and comfort of your, you know, putting your feet under your home table that builds you up for further work in God's kingdom. God is not trying to hide himself from you or make his will hard for you to understand. It's us that tends to complicate things, either because we're not doing well at living within God's framework, or because we overthink what it means to know the will of God. Is that okay to say? Maybe I ought to get you up to add some stuff to kind of balance out some of the things that I've said here from your experience. So anyway, I just encourage you young people to set your course as early as, you know, now, if you haven't already. And then continue to set that to stay on that course. You're going to have to make decisions and choices and commitments, you know, one right after the other, right on down the line. But keep it always focused on staying within this framework. And I can guarantee you that you will meet the people that God wants you to meet that will bless and encourage and build up your life, and you will be doing the things that make God happy. And you'll be able to, at the end of your life, look back and say, you know what? Uh, That really was a ride. I never expected to, you know, either to get here from that way or end up here, but I'm glad I did. And it was a good one. It was a good ride. And we can hear at the end of our life then that those words of God, well done, good and faithful servant. So may the Lord bless you as you pursue that.